When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
Do you have some traumas?
Trauma?
Did bad things happen to you?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone does, right?
We'll give it over.
I'm trying to think. What was my most recent trauma? Well, you know, like deep-rooted trauma is going to be what we've been talking about, like feeling like you never will fit in, balancing the identity of being a child of immigrants versus trying to be American, racism, all that fun stuff. And then personal trauma, probably just like bad relationships, like relationships with like alcoholics or people that are very mentally ill that don't know it.
Damn.
And then you like find out together. Yeah.
Cool.
Like 2 years and then you like find out
escape
like
room.
Find out together, and that's like cool. Like find out at the same time that they're not
sound.
Well. Yeah.
And not doing what they need to do about it.
No. And like the biggest lesson for me was like you literally can't help anybody. Cause I have this thing where I'm like, because also we're taught like love is all you need. Love is enough. Support no matter what. Take a bullet for this person. And I'm like, that's not healthy. No one should ask you to take a bullet for them. No one should ask you to die for them. You should not die for anybody.
Yeah.
That's not love. That's crazy. That's like codependency.
Yeah. Relationship isn't just like a one-sided mission to fix things and make someone happy.
Yeah. Like you still have to take care of yourself first and foremost. So like even though like those things were traumatic, I'm happy I went through them because I feel like it was a hard way to learn those lessons.
Did these people like you introduced these guys to your family and it was like a long-term thing?
The last one,
yeah,
which was like a huge deal because he was white and I was like so nervous. And I feel like,
but your parents seem so cool.
Well, they were cool about it. I was like so nervous though because I had a whole relationship once that I never even told them about because I was like so nervous. They'd be like, no. But they were a bit like,
I guess like no matter how cool South Asian parents are, there's still this idea about daughters and being
wanting them to be like, my sister married another Indian that's also a Patel and she has like two beautiful children. And I'm like, well, she did it. Can I do whatever?
I mean, I think you can. I think you are, right?
Yeah.
Does she have a regular job too?
She is just a mom now. Not just a mom, but she's a full-time mom now.
Just a nothing mom.
I know. I was like, actually, hardest job. I don't know how you guys do it. It's like insane.
So she's a mom. She married a first cousin.
Yeah.
She married another Patel.
Everywhere.
I mean, I'm assuming there was some sort of like coming out process of what you wanted to do in your career.
Yeah. I kind of like, well, my mom was the one that encouraged me to move to Chicago because I'd gotten laid off from my job in Atlanta. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I thought I wanted to move to New York.
Wait, you went from Florida to Atlanta?
Florida to Atlanta. And then my mom's like, why don't you go to Chicago? At least just take classes there for the summer because you like comedy, because I did improv in college.
Oh my God, your mom is so cool.
Oh my, it was
too
very
cool for 23
cool
and me.
Yeah.
Also, did she murder someone?
I mean, maybe. Honestly, she's killing it. But so
I said that because of the 23andMe, they would have her DNA, and then
I'm
so glad I clarified.
No, you
I didn't
did.
Just
I
throw
like,
out there that
like
your mom's
a
killer.
That's
your
a cool
mom is a killer because
do.
Concrete fact: if she gave her DNA to 23andMe, then they might trace it back to a body they found in cement that had her fingerprints, DNA. I don't believe
it's
kind of
wild
anymore.
That we're just giving our DNA to people.
Call your mommy.
So. You're in Atlanta. Your mom says like, yo, girl, go to Second City.
Yeah. So I go to Chicago. I take classes there. And then I was still like, I was a journalism major. So I was still working as an editor for a long time. And then Second City offered me a stage and I was like, okay. And I like tried to do both because in my mind, I didn't realize I could do this full time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I have to have a job. This is a hobby.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm quitting my job. My parents were kind of like, what? And there was a long time. They're like, we don't even know how you're financially surviving. And I was like, I don't know either, but I am. So
you owe me a plaza.
Yeah. I was like, you owe me a plaza. I'm selling my plasma. No, but it was like the only in Chicago. It's the only paying comedy job.
Yeah.
So it was like no way I was going to not do it.
Yeah.
And it was like I felt like I lived it up. Chicago is like such a cheap place to live compared to here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
So you worked at Second City.
I worked at Second City.
The Torco and Main Stage.
I did ETC, okay. Which is like right next to Main Stage. It's like
I did
the two stages.
Little known fact.
Huh?
Youngest person hired by Second City, little baby Sabrina Jalice.
Really?
Yeah.
How did we never cross paths?
Well, because I worked for them very briefly and then they fired me.
Wait, why? They're not
youngest
current.
Person also fired by Second City. I was just I was doing stand up and doing Second City stuff and I had like no training. I just like had some like wacky characters a lot of confidence and I kept on doing improv sets, like you know how you're allowed to go to do main stage improv sets, but I didn't know any of the rules of improv. I probably was like, no, but you know, and it was really fun. I did Torco. We did like some shows during the day at the CNE. What's that called? Like a fair. But anyway, I wasn't like in the system for long.
Yeah. I didn't do Torco. I didn't.
You did ETC.
I did ETC for like 3 years.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. And then I moved to LA. And
awesome.
Here we are.
And did you have agents before you moved to LA?
I did. My current agent came to Chicago to like scout. There was like a weekend where a bunch of people from LA like came to like check out Chicago talent. And he liked me. And so then he was like, oh, are you doing any other shows? I was like, I'm doing an improv show at IO, like in the cabaret. Like space, which is like a basement in Wrigleyville, and he's like, okay, and like him and this other agent like came in their suits to like IO in Wrigleyville and saw my improv show where I was probably like sitting on a toilet the whole time or some stupid shit like that. But then I worked with him like remotely for a couple years, and then he's like, you have to move to. I got the CBS Diversity Showcase.
Yeah,
okay, heard of it? And then I was like, okay, so I'll come do this, and then I'll like come back to Chicago and do the next show. And he's like, nah, bitch, like.
We're about to make some.
You gotta
deals,
stay.
Deals.
That might be my favorite one. That's my favorite one.
So CBS Diversity Showcase was like a break for you where it was like, okay.
In a sense that it got me here. I had not really been like, oh my God, I gotta move to LA. Cause I think I was still processing that I even like got to do this as a living. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, this is great. I'll stay at Second City till they kick me out and then I'll like teach or something.
Yeah.
Or I'll go back to editing. But thank God I haven't had
How
to go
long
back.
Ago did you come here?
5 years ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But then like I moved here and I started auditioning and then I booked my first show and it's
what
been
was
really
your first
good.
Show?
It was called Kevin from Work on Freeform. It was when they were just switching over from ABC Family to Freeform.
And how long were you?
It was just one season.
Oh. But how long were you in LA before you booked that?
I was in LA. I moved in October and I booked it in January.
Oh man, that's so good.
Which is insane.
It's really insane.
Because I had prepped myself. I was like, okay, you're going to do this unpaid showcase and then you're going to have to get a job and probably struggle for a couple years before you book something. And I had like mentally prepared for that. And I was like,
yeah.
You can be a barista again. It'll be fun. Like, you know, thinking like all this stuff where like, you know, you'll find another job or you'll find like a freelance writing job for like a magazine.
You were prepared to like have to.
Yeah. To like,
do a side hustle for a while.
Yeah. But it's worked out so far.
And what do you, I find like one obnoxious thing about life is that like it takes being kind of at the top of the mountain, like getting some success to look down and be like, and here were the lessons all along, you know, it takes being an adult to realize like, oh yeah, it's to be yourself is the thing that was important.
Oh,
what you were saying about like
uniqueness
being like actually like, you know, the gold, not something that you needed to hide and pretend that you liked running.
Because we're finally in a place where it's starting to be celebrated.
Yeah.
Which it's like, I totally understand why I didn't do it before because there was no one that looked like me and it was unsafe to be me. Like, not unsafe, like I was going to be shot down in the street, but like unsafe in the sense of like, oh, and then after 9/11 happened and people were like throwing bricks through my parents' convenience store window, I'm like, yeah, it was like,
girl, I asked you for the trauma. You should have brought the brick.
Well, I never confirmed it was because of racism, but I assumed they threw a brick through the window.
It
they didn't
wasn't
steal
because
anything.
Of loving brown people.
No, I mean, I'll tell you that much.
Unless the brick was like, love you, brown people.
Right. Like, here's the money I owe you. But yeah, but I also like always remind myself that like we're in a luxurious place where we can think this way.
Yes.
Because like I would be different like if I had been here for a long time and really, really struggling and like kept trying so hard and couldn't book anything, like I would have a different mindset, I'm sure. Like it would be harder to stay positive. Like
yeah.
Our situation makes it easier for us to be positive.
And then
like,
it also seems
it
like a chicken and egg thing where it's like you know, you are afforded the luxury to have the confidence of knowing that you're an asset to a project because you've been an asset to a project.
Yeah.
But it kind of like...
But inherently also you have to have something in you that is that way. Like
yes.
Like naturally I do lean towards being like a glass half full person too. So like...
So you would accredit some of it to just like being intrinsically positive?
I think so. I think it's like both. It's like circumstance and... I guess it's nurture and nature.
Nature and nature. And now for
Hollywood Scoop. Scoop, scoop, scoop. Hollywood Scoop. Scoop, scoop, scoop.
Pronoun, who's dating? Who's fucking? Who's divorced? Who's both? JK, what's the Hollywood Scoop in terms of how you...
I was like, oh my God. I was like, I think Orlando like, Bloom is dating Katy Perry.
Yes. So... You like if you were speaking to a sliding door self, like a younger self moving from Florida to Atlanta to Chicago to LA.
Yeah.
What do you tell her?
Well, I would say like trust. This sounds so like LA, but like trust the universe in a sense of like even when like it feels like something really terrible is happening or something is going wrong, like or you didn't get something you really wanted.
Yes.
Like it's for a reason. And like every time I have...
It's the truth.
Not, truth at the door. Not going to say her. It's the truth. Let me in.
Yeah, that's so true. Is there something in your life that you can point to? Like, was there a moment where you're like, oh, it's all...
I remember and this is not even like a, oh my God, devastating. But in the moment, like I had started doing more stuff at Second City and I auditioned for a cruise ship and I made it to like the final round and I was like, this is it. I'm going to go on a cruise ship. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to see the Caribbean and Cozumel. Finally, Cozumel.
And I'll wear my Abercrombie shirt.
I can't wait. And I was like so excited and I didn't get it. And I was like, well, guess I'll never work for Second City and never work in comedy and have to sit behind a desk for the rest
cruise
of my life.
Bust.
And it's for the best because I have since learned I don't like cruises.
No.
It's like I got sick on one. I feel claustrophobic. The smell is so bad. The people are terrible. And if I'd gotten it, like probably within 2 weeks, I would have like probably had a mental breakdown and been like, get me off this ship, and probably severed a relationship with a theater that helped me kind of find my voice. So
yeah.
Things like that, or anytime I've like gotten close to booking something and haven't gotten it, I also like go in assuming I'm not going to get it, not in a low self-esteem way, but just like that's just what the odds are usually.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's a real way.
You have
of,
to keep trying till you match up. In a way, dating and auditioning are kind of the same.
That was a natural
burr. A moment of clarity. That was not a sound effect, but yeah, and also like. I feel like especially moving to LA, treating it more as like a holistic like life change as opposed to being like, I'm moving to LA because I have to be on TV or something like that. Yeah. And again, I'm in a place where I admit it's easier for me to say that. But like once I was like, OK, no, being in LA has made me take better care of myself than I ever had in my entire life. Like as far as like health and wellness and mental, spiritual, physical health, like. It's made me like challenge myself in like therapy in a new way that I have never had before. And it's made me like slow down so much more than I ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be like alone with my thoughts and be okay with it. And not like, because I feel like for a while I would like socially spread myself so thin because I like didn't want to be by myself because then I would feel lonely and I would feel like depressed or I would feel like, oh my God, I'm a loser. I have no friends. I'm by myself.
So you're kind of like running away from those thoughts.
Yeah. And in LA, it's like you can't just walk down the street and see somebody. Like you're the first person I've talked to all day today.
Yeah.
But like by choice. And it's like to get to a point where it's like, oh, now I actually like being alone. Like I never understood people that needed alone time and liked alone time. And now I'm one of them bitches, you know?
Yeah. It is, especially with like cell phones and I find it, I think I could probably use a little bit more alone time. Like when I do get time to myself, I generally am like, who should I FaceTime?
Yeah.
But that is a good lesson. Okay. So yeah. And also seeing it as like seeing the bigger picture of it, because I think you can get so it's exactly like dating where if when you get myopic about like, I'm going to meet someone at this bar, it's like, well, you surely won't with that attitude.
Right.
You
know, like the
and or it's like that it's the balance of like you can't walk in being like, I'm meeting my partner at this bar. And you also can't walk in being like, I'm never meeting anyone at a bar. It's like just living in the in between, which is the reality.
Or like when you do meet someone and it's a good first date. That's it. That's what it is. Just one date. And then you have to like keep picking at it until it turns into something. But like you can't give it so much weight, but it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard for me to do.
Okay. So that's hard for you to do. What else is hard?
I feel like it's hard for me or I've gotten a lot better at not feeling like guilty about so many things, like feeling like I feel like I'm naturally a nice person, but I felt like very responsible for other people for a long time. Like, oh gosh, they're in a sad mood. I'm going to go buy them flowers. I should go buy them this, or I should treat them to dinner, or I should talk to them and make them feel better.
That's so sweet.
But like, it's sweet, but then it's
I
like,
relate to it as well.
Right? Like, cause you just
it's
want them
like
to feel better.
It's kind of like an inner host.
Yeah.
And maybe like, part of what made us funny. And maybe part of also just like relating just in terms of being I'm half brown, half white. So never really quite fitting into exactly what being a white identity or a brown identity. But like making other people comfortable with me being different. Humor was this beautiful thing that got strengthened from that.
Yeah. You know? And it's like a fine line because I don't want to ever lose that. Like I always think like, you know, when you read the news and it's easy to be like, what the hell am I doing to help this world? And it's like, well, this is actually how I can help. Cause like representation, I feel like even if there's like some racist in South Alabama, sorry, Alabama, just the first state that came to
can
mind.
Can I buy you flowers? Can I come to your house with a CD that I burned for you, Alabama? It's Sweet Home Alabama is one of the songs, but there's other Alabama friendly songs.
But like when I think about like, you know, someone there that might look at someone like you and I and immediately feel hate. But if they see me on a show, let Carol suck an act.
That's right. And CBS 9:30 p.m., honey.
Yeah. And like if you make
Thursdays,
them laugh.
Thursdays 9:30 p.m. Don't just meander around every day at 9:30 looking for a Carol on a second act. Okay. I almost landed that sentence.
You landed it for me.
All right.
But like even if you just like make someone laugh and in that moment, like you're human to them and you've like. I don't know. I feel like that's how I can affect change. It's
but
like,
that's, that
just
is
see
like,
me and see me as a human. And
well, when Christina was asking about what, you know, could we have done anything or how were we with you and, you know, you feeling different about your identity, it is what really would have changed would have been seeing you on TV.
Yeah.
You know, just, and also just the idea that now it's like, it's not just Mindy Kaling. It's like there's tons of different brown chicks out there that like, because the onus can't be on one person. I was talking to Joel Kim Booster was on this podcast and we were talking about that where, you know, people, he gets so much hate from other Asian, gay Asian men because they're looking to him to be their representation.
Where other like white people get to just be whoever they are.
Exactly.
They don't have to represent all white people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It is so hard because it's like, I feel a responsibility to like talk about these things. But I also like, don't need to be the spokesperson for every single brown person out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was talking to someone about like okay, controversy, Constance Wu the other day, and you know, like, there's controversy.
What did she ever do to anyone?
Well, you know, she was like that controversy and like all this stuff, and people like say like she's this or that or whatever, and I was like, well,
the
know-
controversy is that she, when they announced that Fresh Off the Boat was coming back for another season, she was like,
ugh.
I'm looking for the right sound effect. She was like,
oh, come on! I want out of this contract!
Instead of being like,
oh, yeah.
Which is a little bit disconnected from like the amount of people that work on the show.
Oh,
and all
for
that.
Sure.
But also, I don't know what it's like to be Constance Wu. Do you?
I don't, but like, I absolutely,
do you?
I absolutely agree that her behavior has been inconsiderate. But I was having this conversation. I was like, but you know what? When as Asians, we get to be assholes too. That's how we know we've really made it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like whenever like, you know, you hear things about like actors or actresses of Asian descent and like, you know, you hear good, bad about everyone. But I'm also like, but we're being allowed to exist, good or bad. Like, I would love everyone to be good. But like, even the bad, like, let them exist, because guess what? We're here and we're not
and
all
now
just
we have
like
representation,
model minorities. Yeah.
Of an Asian lady that's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. Like, we're bitches, we're assholes, and we're nice people. We're smart. We're dumb. Like, we're humans just like the rest of you.
Yeah, I think that's actually a complicated thing with representation, that'll be like the next layer. We're smart, we're dumbness is like, I think that white people who have been historically the people creating TV, you know, they get sort of, if you're casting, I don't know, like an asshole or a homeless person, or it's like hard to...
Right, because they're like so hypersensitive about it. Then.
Yeah.
And it's like, well... The point isn't to like give us special treatment. It's to give us the treatment you give everyone else.
Hollywood, we challenge you to cast 13
make me an
homeless
asshole.
Brown people.
I was, well, I guess that's kind of a spoiler, but a small spoiler. My character on Carol's second act was kind of a bitch.
Oh, I thought you were going to say homeless. And I'm like, wow, you really deepened that character
her,
in a way that.
Yeah, I did
I
a deep
knew.
Character. So she
homeless
kind of. Have you heard
Dr.
Jewel,
Mitha.
Similar story. Except instead of music, she went into medicine.
Totally, your character's totally a bitch. Find out why on Thursdays at 9:30 on
in
CBS.
In January?
In January, maybe. I don't know when that airs. Actually, probably more like December. You know what? Watch every Thursday, okay?
Yeah.
Shut your ears if you don't have one. It's baby talk.
Was there something profound that happened when you met your sister's kids, or you're just like, these are some more things that poop?
Oh no, I like, it's so odd because, you know, I was telling you earlier, I'm like, I've never had the urge to have children.
Mm-hmm.
But when I met my sister's kids, it actually made me be like, no, I really can't have kids because they'll never be as good as this. Like, they're so perfect to me. I've never felt this kind of like protection over people.
Yeah.
And like, I've never felt this kind of like love for anybody like in my life. Like, even my parents and my sister, I love them. But like my niece and my nephew, like I've never
it's
been like
fake.
I would die for somebody. And like, you know, I don't advocate for that. But like for my niece and my nephew, I absolutely would like die for them any day of the week. It's just like,
I guess I would die for Wolfie is something that I think about often, is like, yeah, I guess I would just die for him.
Like, you wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't even be a choice. Like, you would just do it. And I've never had that feeling before. And I thought a lot about, because people were like, you're so maternal and you're so like good with kids and kids like you, how can you not want kids? And I just thought about like, well, not everyone.
Idiots?
Yeah, well, a lot of people. But I'm like, not everyone that has
your breasts
those
have
things.
Milk in them.
Right. I know. Right. I was like, but like, I think I'm supposed to be like this very amazing aunt, like that I wish I could have had growing up, that when I couldn't talk to my parents about things, I could have gone to like this aunt, you know?
Yeah. Smoke some hash. And
yes.
Sort it out.
I want to be like, and my sister and her husband are great parents, so I feel like they communicate really well with the kids.
Look,
but
they're
like,
not listening to this podcast. Tell me the fucking dirt.
But it's like, they're still their parents at the end of the day, and there's like things you're not going to tell your parents.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I tell my niece, Mila, all the time, and she hasn't said it back yet, but I was like, you're my best friend. And she's like, okay. Like, she literally won't tell
That's
me
cute.
That I'm her best friend back, but I like want her to
she's
know.
Like, okay,
she's...
there's a lot of contenders, and I'm not saying you're.
She's
not
like,
one
I'm
of them.
Only in pre-K, so
it's hard to make that decision right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she's like, you don't live here. You're three times my age, and But yeah, no, and it's like cool to see something grow, and like they're so smart and they're so aware. Like she's 6 and my nephew is 4, and they're like, her especially at 6 years old is like so aware of like race.
Wow.
And like it's gender. Insane. Yeah. And gender. And like my sister's really good about like not being like only boys play with this, only girls play with that. Like, because at the end of the day, Dev, my nephew, like he has an older sibling. He's going to want to do what his older sibling wants to do, whether the sibling's a boy or a girl.
And also just like, what a,
like, why do we do that?
Yeah. What a silly thing.
It's so silly. Like Dev wears all of Mila's old pajamas.
Great.
Because like, who cares?
Yeah.
So I really love that my sister does that with them. But if there's this other thing where I'm like, oh my God, how do parents do it? Like, how do you get, like, maybe I'll ask you this. Like, how do you not want to protect them all the time? And you just know, like, the older they get, the more and more they're going to get immersed into this world that, like, you can't protect them from.
Well, I'm definitely, like, at my core, a scaredy cat for sure. But like a brave scaredy cat. Like if there's a noise, I will immediately assume the worst, but then I'll also like grab my bear mace and start looking yeah. for where the noise came from. But I feel like when it comes to Wolfie, one of the like most amazing parts about him that we're very conscious of nurturing is his ability to soothe himself and his ability to like fall down and get back up again. I think that's such a nice like representation of what is so important in this life. When we talk about like the nature of this business and auditioning, it's totally about the auditions that you don't book, that you decide to like keep on committing to this job and keep on walking into rooms knowing that it's chances are deemed as failure, not success.
Yeah, comforting but, like, yourself is a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and I think that, and you can see it like at the playground. You can see it's like we start as these pure souls and then we get taught to wear all these masks. Yeah. Like for you, it was like playing lacrosse. And for me, it was like wearing like weird butterfly headbands and like, you know, trying to waiting for my tits to come out, like waiting for my body to be a girl's body because that's what it was supposed to be. And all sorts of things. But I think there's something that in that balance of protection, I think the ultimate protection is to teach them to protect themselves. And now, I mean, he's so little.
Yeah.
But so, you know.
Wait, that's so good.
Yes.
Wait, that's so good.
Oh my God. I don't even know what I said. I'll have to.
The best protection is to teach them to protect themselves. Wait, that's such a comforting thing.
So true. True. This sound effect is like a misdirect because I always want to press it when people say things that are actually true, but then it sounds like the horn that's mean.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It sounds sarcastic. All right. Well, let's record the horn that's mean.
Okay.
Because I just reminded that we recorded the positive one, but the auto industry has been hanging on a thread for 45 minutes being like, give us the other one.
Are we still saying hey?
We got to find ourselves at the end of the count of three and we just got to, it's going to come together. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hey!
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, wait, you had to tell me about your nipples in a shirt story.
Oh, okay. So the year is 1923. I am 12 years old. I used to want to be a professional tennis player. And I had this coach, Barb, and
classic
British
coach
lady.
Name.
And she called me aside one day and she goes, Sabrina. And I thought that she was going to congratulate, like I, you know, was thirsty for accolades. I was like, I'm going to play the boys tournament probably this week. And she was like, Sabrina, your nipples are showing and they're dark and so we can see it through your shirt, so next time please, you know, wear something underneath because it's inappropriate. And I was like, then I had to like spend the whole rest of the lesson just like covering my tits and hitting forehands.
Also, don't use the word inappropriate.
Yeah,
like, that's,
I mean,
your
like,
body.
I don't want to slander Barb, but like she might have said it in a different way. It was 13,000 years ago,
right?
But just, it was the first time that I realized like I've got I've got these nips and they cannot hide.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
But I needed to wear a bra. Well, look, did I get good secrets from you? I think I did. I think we got the real goody-goody. Should we leave any other tips for little young other you? Or maybe just there's some brown girls listening being like, how do I...
I would say enjoy sex.
Enjoy sex. How do I enjoy sex? Enjoy
have
sex.
Have it casually. Just do it.
Just have it.
You're okay. It's not dirty.
It's not dirty.
You're not going to die. But right. don't have it with anyone that doesn't like deserve it.
Yes. Do not do it just because, yeah. Don't feel pressure to do it.
Yeah.
But have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good note.
That's a real good note. All right. I want everyone listening to close their eyes unless they're driving. Breathe in deep. And say, I fucking love Poonam Patel. And that's called a love spell. All right, we just put a love spell on Poonam.
It's my favorite fragrance from Victoria's Secret growing up. Love spell.
Yeah. Love spell. All right, I hope you inherit a plaza.
Thank you.
With your sweet, sweet king, who I obviously hope is a woman, who identifies as a king. So she's not a cis woman. She's, look, I can't get into all the details of who your destiny love is, but.
I mean, find somebody. I'm open.
I think that love spell is going to set all the loves towards you.
I'm like begging people to slide into the DMs.
Slide straight into the DMs. She's wearing button pants.
I'm wearing a button
slide flying. Between those two buttons. Get your dog peen in there.
I mean, Cowboy is staring right at me.
He's like, you don't need more than me, bitch. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You're so great and talented and beautiful.
Hi, Pina. How are you? I really envy you. You guys with your nice weather there. You can't believe the weather we're having here. Yesterday, we received a record-breaking snowfall, which arrived more than a month before winter starts. We received the equivalent of 5 inches of snow, beating a record of 1 inch set in 1983, because normally at this time of the year, we do not get any snow. And it was terribly cold. Overnight, the wind chill was -7. Really very cold. Not a pleasure to get out, but Dad and me still went for a walk after supper. Bundled all up, looked like little snowman, went for a little walk for half an hour. And then I got the idea of how can I get some exercise into my day without, you know, making much of an effort. And my idea is that when I watch TV, which I do, I would say at least 2 hours a day anyways, every commercial, do some exercise. Get up. If you don't want to do exercise, just walk around in the house, in the apartment or wherever you live, or go up and down the stairs if you have a two-level house, or do some stretching or whatever you want to do, or yoga pose. And I just Googled, it says that there's an average of 16 minutes of commercials in 1 hour of TV. So 2 hours would give you half an hour of exercise. Not bad, eh? I'm going to try it and I'll let you know how it goes. Okay? Have a good day. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.